So I'll be talking about Abraham probably a few more times. It is so fascinating whenever I read these stories about Abraham that there's uncertainty and faith, and there's ambiguity, and yet strong following for the calling. The way I'm saying this, if you read it very, very, very carefully, Old Testament, you will also be confused about exactly what God Abraham's really following. Which one was it? So in that context, I'd like to ask all of you. You can answer if you want. Don't have to. What do you think is God made of? In other words, to be qualified to be a God or the God to you, what abilities does God need to have? Theologically speaking, Christians were talking about omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence. God supposed to know everything, supposed to be everywhere, and supposed to be able to do everything. Which kind of created the concept and system of predestination. Yet, do we really believe that's really what God is, or that's the way we can accept God? So in reading Abraham, the nature and characteristics of God is not really well defined. Kind of interesting to me. But yet, he has a strong following. And in this chapter 14, when Abraham meets the king named Melchizedek, his name means, "My king is right." Interesting, isn't it? My king is right. And Salem means peace. That's also shalom. So, isn't it interesting that Abraham came back from such a victorious event? He defeated this united army of four or five kings, rescuing his nephew, Lot. And this is return. And this king just came out of blue, actually. You know, very funny thing is, this Melchizedek appears here once, and you'll never hear about him until the Psalms.
Until the Psalms.
Yes. And then, in the New Testament, in Hebrews, his name come back. And I'm pretty sure that's how the connection of churches requiring tithing. Because Abraham gave one-tenth to this king. One-tenth of everything. It's a lot. And he brought out wine and bread. Wine and bread is specifically mentioned like together by a person, kind of priest, in the whole Old Testament. I'm pretty sure you will not find it like this. Wine and bread. There's a bread of presence, but there's no wine offered in the tent or to God's temple. But here, this priest brings wine and bread. Interesting, isn't it? And this God Most High, in the original text, it's El Elyon. So it's El, and there is Yahweh. So I'm giving you a little challenge today. And one of the questions I meditate upon myself still do is that, do I believe in the Creator because I learn it, I'm taught about it, or do I believe my Creator because I experience? Or both?
Jean-Charles, it's possible that Avram had what felt like a much more personal relationship to God than we usually imagine. And so he felt not only closer and more sheltered, but more accountable to God.
Yes.
And, yeah. It's so, more immediate.
Yes. Right? Now, that's the... So, very, very good point. And actually, with that, so then the God Abraham was feeling, experiencing personally, would that be the same God as what other people were believing as God Most High? Because God Most High wasn't just the one singular God in that ancient world. It depends on which country you live. You will pick up different name of God as God Most High. Like there's Baal, there's Marduk, and there's the other God. If you go to Egypt, there's the other God who is Most High. If you go to the Western, you know, Greek world, that's the another God. So God Most High, who created heaven and earth, kind of sums up as the Creator. So people, as they live life, and we have brain and intelligence, and our ancestors are not dumb. I believe they are sometimes smarter than us. Or, in a matter of fact, probably they were able to dedicate more time and energy to what they think is important because they didn't have all the leisure that we have. So, they developed a system kind of locally. And each location, people experience God. And they develop. So this Abraham is called by God and experiencing God. God is really real to this person, Abraham. Yet, my wondering point is this Melchizedek, the priest of God Most High, that exactly same God? So here comes three possibilities. You may disagree or agree with me. One, Abraham's actually from land of Canaan. And he actually believed El Elyon as the God Most High. And there's no problem. Two, Abraham's wanderer, and this priest king comes out, so he's just paying the respect. Kind of political, diplomatic way. Or three, a little more complex, could be Abraham has heard, has been taught different series of gods, but he wasn't sure these names are the names of true God. Yet, he experiences personally, strongly, God is real. And he communicates to this God. He's God. And he's still looking for the name for his God. So I see three possibilities.
Just a thought on part three. If one, if one thinks of God as beyond the anthropomorphized limitations that we put on him or her, and something beyond the human imagination's ability to approach in any way, we create these intermediaries, patriarchal, sexist, angry, jealous, vengeful, because we can't get where we need to go. Mm-hmm. And in the context of his dealing with multiple gods and choosing among them, he's really just choosing among simulacra, images of images, because where we should go all the way to God is so rarely available to us because we're so limited in our imaginations.
Thank you. Can I share with him a little bit? Yes? Isn't that interesting? So that's my challenge to you. Yes. My belief is, as a human, what makes us special is you are capable of not only experiencing, but perceiving this deep inner true reality we call God, we call Creator, Allah, Brahman, Buddha. We name this many, many, many different ways. So the challenge, yes, is we want to be united with this. But truth is, well, I'm here, and that's quite far and so big. So how do we kind of bring this comfort to our heart in knowing that? So we do. This is what we've been doing. I believe it's a mistake, is that we try to bring this unlimited, unimaginable power reality into a small little box that we can manage and control and tell people, this is God and only this. Instead of just accepting in a humble humility that we're not able to contain you, but we're happy to experience. Somehow, that may be a better way. So, King Melchizedek and Abraham. Kind of very simple story. But we can go into depth of that. And if you can somehow, in your mind, really bring back as real Abraham, this person, and living in this world of many, many gods. And world of change, too. Yet, he has this calling, which is really true to him. He listens and follows. And yet, this experience of God is not exactly fairly well distributed to all humans, right? Some people seem to have more, and some people seem to have none. Or that's how they perceive it. So, the question and challenge to all of us, actually includes me, is how do we work with that and bring it not into a box, but bring it to us real and live together. Yeah, it has been my sadness and real struggle ever since I entered the seminary, that is this three Abrahamic religion not getting along together. Yeah. I just don't understand. I still don't understand. I mean, I do understand to a degree in a human nature and a history happened, but on another degree, it's very, very limiting and sad. Well, let alone inviting all other religions and open this box. And I'm pretty sure what is contained in the box is exactly the same. So, I have a challenge to you. So, question to you, kind of to entertain, is who is my God? And how am I experiencing my God or Creator? And the most importantly, what is it that I should do about it? Because Abraham was not about just listening to God and experiencing God and having fun with life and doing nothing. There was a component that a message. And church has been trying, or religious institutions trying to actually mandate that message to you. Like saying, I'm minister, so yeah, Blake, you should be doing this. And that's what God telling you. But that's not how I read in Old Testament or New Testament. Each individual is uniquely created in the way that we're capable of not only experiencing, but perceiving and understanding this inner message. Well, there's a condition. If I'm willing to do that. Then that's a big, big condition. If I'm not open to do that, I shut the door. But if I open the door, there could be this, I don't know, this God, creator, beauty, peace, love, waiting outside, just about to embrace you. And that could be a good, good experience. So, I don't know where I'm taking you today with this, honestly. But I just felt that I need to give you this challenge and share with you. And my one last sentence is, whatever it is, I believe in Creator, it has to be real and it has to connect with my life. And so should it be to you. May God, Creator, bless you all. Amen.